Well, good morning, saints, and welcome. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So how many of us are ready to be blessed by the word of God this morning? Well, you know, Christmas is just a couple of days away again, and it seems like it's always that time of the year. I don't know about you, but it seems like Christmas is coming faster and faster every year. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges we have as the years go by and each Christmas comes and is to buy just that perfect gift for your kids, your husband, your wife. And so we spend a lot of time, or at least I believe most of us do, pondering, you know, what would so-and-so like, what would bless them. And but, you know, in the midst of all of the hustle and the bustle, I cannot help but be reminded of the very greatest, by far, gift any one person can ever receive this side of heaven. And you know what I'm talking about. That gift is Jesus. Jesus himself. It's that one gift that just keeps on giving and giving and giving. It never gets old. You know, I mean, you can look back over the years in your life and see all the gifts that you received. And at the time, you know, there was great excitement and anticipation. But, you know, as the years go by, a lot of those gifts you've even forgotten about. You know, it might have been a piece of jewelry that you have long since discarded. It might be something that wore out, threw in the garbage. But Jesus is the one gift that you can't wear him out, and you will not never discard him. And he just gets greater and greater and greater as the years go by. So this is the one gift, and that becomes more and more valuable to us as each passing day goes by. And if he doesn't, then you haven't found out the truth about the gift that you've received. Amen? So Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. You know, it's like God took his life. I'm going to paint a picture for us here. And he wrapped it in a flesh body. And he sent it to the earth. And you know, just like in the natural, I asked Cameron yesterday, why do we wrap gifts? Seriously, why do we wrap gifts? And actually, we even Googled it, and it says it started with the Chinese. They were the first people to wrap gifts. And back in the day, they used to wrap them in brown paper. That's where it all began. Now, I said to Cameron, okay, we understand where it started, but there must have been a reason. And so, you know, really, we do. We wrap gifts, and Cameron says, well, it gives us a greater anticipation of what's in it. And, you know, the bigger the gift box, you know, the more anticipation, or the prettier the box, you know, it's all of those things, I guess, combined. But, you know, it's as if God took his very life and he wrapped it in a flesh body and he sent it to the earth. But, you know, in order for us to get the life out, in other words, in order for you to get the gift out of that, you have to rip the wrapping paper open. You have to rip open the box. And it's the same with Jesus. In order to get the life, which he had to be ripped apart, his body had to be broken open. And so it's much the same concept. And, you know, if you recall, I said a couple of weeks ago, when we open up this gift, God does not give us anything in degrees. Do you ever notice that about the Word of God? That's something the Holy Spirit brought out a couple of weeks ago when I was just reading. He doesn't bless us out of his blessings. Philippians 4:19 says this, my God shall supply all your need, Ivy, not out of his riches, but it says according to his riches. What does that mean? According to means, if you look it up and you study that little phrase, according to, it means in the same measure. God doesn't bless us out of, like if somebody comes to you, Ivy, your children, and say, Mom, I need money. So Ivy goes to the bank, and out of her millions of dollars, she takes out, let's say, 100, and she gives it to Rebecca. That's not what God did. God prospers us. He supplies us according to, in the same measure as what he has. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is God. And when he gave Jesus, he gave to us all. All peace, all joy, all prosperity, all wholeness and health and healing. It's not just a little bit. You need to see the enormity of what God has given us, because we just think, oh, you know, God just supplies my need. You know, for us four and no more. No, God wants you to be a big receiver so that you can be a big blessing. That's God's ways. Big receiver to be a big blessing. God blesses us that we could be a blessing to others. Now, he blesses with everything. You know, in the world, you can give a gift of money, and that money is wonderful. It's great. It can purchase a lot of things, but it can't buy you a lot of things. It can't buy you healing. It can't fix your heart or your mind. Money is very limited to purchasing physical things. But the gift that God gives, oh my goodness, it's nothing is held back in that gift. Whatever the need was given completely, in the same degree as God possesses, the life was given to you. So it's according to the measure, not out of. So there's no degrees. All grace is yours, all peace, all joy, all love. God does not hold back and give a little bit to us out of his fullness. And we have no idea how full God is. So God has supplied for each and every one of us the same measure of riches that Jesus himself has. Gospel of John, chapter 1, if you want scripture to prove this, chapter 1, verse 16, of his fullness have I received grace for grace. Of his fullness have we all received. Not just of his little bit of his fullness, it's all his fullness. So the life that God has given us through Christ is the life of Christ. When we open up that gift, what is ours is the very life of Christ. Now you have to stop and ask yourself, what kind of life does he live? Oh my. So it's not just a little bit of life out of the fullness of his life. It is his life. So where is this life? You're all sitting there looking at me and you're agreeing with me. Where is this life? I'm sure many Christians, including you, me, you know, we wonder, where is it? If this is true, where is it in my life? Where is this life? How can we have this life? The truth is, the very life of God is on the inside of you. How can it be on the inside of us and not have it affect every area of our lives? How can this life really be in us and not affect us? Because God's life is so big. You know, on one side, I believe the enemy has really deceived the vast majority of the body of Christ to believe that this life is only to be really manifest once we leave this old body in the dust. We see little bits and pieces of the life of God, and we think that's all God is doing. He's giving us a little bit of life out of his fullness for this life. We don't realize we've already got it all. And number two, most of us don't know, number one, what we have in Jesus, and number two, those of us who have been given a glimpse, like I believe we have, of what we still, or what we do have in Jesus, we really, really, really still do not understand how to use this life or how to release the life that's already in us. We know we have the life of God on the inside of us, We know we are born again in the image and the likeness of God. We know that Jesus Christ lives in our hearts by faith. Now, how do we get that life from in our hearts out to where we can see it working in our lives? Because that is the most frustrating thing, is to know that truth and not really comprehend. So first of all, I want to say this. If you are truly a child of God and Jesus lives in you, then you, number one, you've got to believe you have everything you will ever need inside of you. You've got to believe that. It's already been deposited through the Spirit of life that lives in you. And in everything, when I say that, I mean everything that pertains to the life of God and the godliness of God. Everything. That means everything in the natural that we need, everything in the spirit that we need. So what I want to say or teach on today is very, very simple. Something that you and I have heard before, we already know it, and we've heard it over and over again. But if we truly do know that truth and really believe it, then my question to you and me as well is this. Why are we not seeing more of this life? Why are we not experiencing it? If I believe what I just told you to be true, why are you and I not experiencing this life? Why is it not being manifested more in our lives, in your life? So the truth I really want to drive home today, and the reason I want to drive this truth home is because God's been dealing with me on it, okay? So I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 10:10 this morning. We're going to use this as our text. Romans chapter 10:10. Everybody in this room should be able to quote that scripture. It was the first one I ever learned. And this scripture, do you know something? It really says it all. There is so much in this one, and it's not a big scripture. It's a very small one. In this short scripture, we see how we receive his life and how this same life is manifested or released. Very simple. And I am going to drive this home today. You are not going to forget it, at least for this week. Romans 10:10, for with your heart, man believes unto righteousness. I'm going to say that again. With your heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Now, let's stop here for a moment before we get to the second half. This side of heaven, there is nothing more, now I'm going to choose my words very carefully this morning. There is nothing more thrilling, more beautiful, more precious, or brings more enjoyment to God's heart than one person who simply believes him. You need to see how God sees when one person believes in the heart. God is so pleased. He is so thrilled. You become so beautiful to him. You know, we wonder how we can be beautiful. We all want to be beautiful. We want people to see us as being beautiful, not on the outside so much, but the inside, because it's the inner beauty that really shines through. If you're ugly on the inside, I don't care how beautiful you are on the outside. You are going to not appear beautiful, right? So we want the true beauty, the inner beauty. And when God finds one person, I'm going to just say one out of the billions, who believes in his heart God's word, that person becomes the most beautiful, precious, valuable, thrilling. This is how God sees it. This brings more enjoyment to God's heart. When we simply believe on the Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Have you ever really wondered what it really means to be holy? We think of holiness as acts. We think of holiness as this, as in the physical realm, the things that we do or don't do, right? But in the eyes of God, there is no greater holiness than when you simply believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and believe his word. That is the true holiness of God. It's not what you do, it's what you believe. It's how you value and treasure God's word, the Son of God, Jesus, who is the word. That is true holiness before God. It's how we have faith in his Son. And as soon as we believe in Jesus with our hearts, God accredits it to us as righteousness. He loves it when you believe. He's so pleased that person is righteous. It thrills his heart. That person is holy simply for believing. So we can stop all of our trying and our working and our striving to be holy. Believe on Jesus. Believe. Be a believer. And that pleases God. So many times we wonder, how can I please? How can I be pleasing to God? That's how we are pleasing to God. Simply believe him. Believing. You are never more holy or more lovely in the eyes of God than when you are believing and trusting in his son Jesus and in all of the things he has died to give you at that cross. Without faith, without your believing and trusting in him, the Bible tells us it's impossible to be pleasing to God. It's your believing. God is so excited. I am trying to paint a visual picture of how God sees you when you simply just believe. You might feel like you're all alone in the darkness and, oh, well, you know, you're kicking at your life and there's nothing good going on. But if you could only see through all of that up to his glory and see what you are doing to the heart of God. And that's what the Lord showed me was, don't underestimate your faith. Don't belittle it. God doesn't belittle it. The faith of a child, God even speaks about it. Like, wow. There is nothing that impresses our God more than faith. All your giving doesn't impress God. All your good works doesn't impress God. But your faith in his word, now that is going to get his attention. Just like last week, Jesus was walking along. Remember, we studied the two blind men, and he was being thronged. And all of a sudden, one of the blind men sitting on the side of the road shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." God always stops at faith. Always. And he looks. And he marvels. Wow. You just shine. You become brilliant to the Father. Never forget that. It's faith, your faith, that is so valuable. It's the treasure that God treasures. So are we pleasing to God? In answering that, we need to say, am I walking and am I living by my faith in Jesus? Now let's go back to Romans 10:10 and let's take the second half of that verse. For with your heart, Tori, you believe unto righteousness. The moment you believe and trust in Jesus and what he's done for you, immediately God says, that's righteousness. That is a righteous person. Someone who trusts and believes in Jesus. And then it goes on to say, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, we know that the Greek word salvation, we've actually taken this over the last month, a couple of Sundays. That Greek word here is soteria, which is taken from the root word sozo. Now, this word means to be completely whole, well, in mind, body, and estate. It means to be safe. It means to be delivered, to be preserved, to be prosperous, to be healthy, whole, and have all well-being. That's what that word means. So we can see from this definition, is this word is means so much more than being saved from hell. And that's how we have been led to interpret it. Whosoever shall believe on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Saved from what? Hell. That's what we've been taught. This word is, yes, we're saved from hell. Thank you, Jesus. But we are saved from so much more. This word salvation includes everything. Everything. This life, this world, the next world. So it's more than just being saved from from going to hell and going to heaven. It means we are saved from sickness and disease, from poverty, from every curse of death that resulted from our sin. And I know that here again, if that's true, then we say, where is it? Where is the proof that this is even true? For since I've been saved, since you've been saved, not much has changed. You look at your life and you think, if this is really true, where is it? This can't be true. So then we interpret the scriptures based on what we see. On what we see not only in our lives, but in the lives of everybody else. It can't be true. Can't mean that. Because if it did, surely to goodness, by now somebody would have tapped into it. The church would already be walking in it. Nothing has changed. I see myself the same as I was. I still struggle with the finances. I still struggle in this area. I still struggle here. I still struggle there. Where is this amazing salvation? But you know what? I'm here to tell you something. That salvation, it's in your mouth. Tell yourself that. Salvation, your salvation is in your mouth. It's already been deposited in your heart. It's there. And you ask yourself, where is my prosperity? Where is my healing and wholeness? Where is my renewal of youth? It's in your mouth, honey. And as long as it's not released out of your mouth, it's going to stay there. Every need we have, I don't care how big, how small, how insignificant, how ridiculous it might seem to the rest of the world, God supplies all your needs. And your salvation is in your mouth. It's not going to come down from heaven. It's not going to come up from the bottom. But it's in your mouth. You need to know that. Like I said, I am going to drive this home today. Because too often we hear the word, we hear the word, we hear the word, we see the word, we say we believe the word, but we never see the word come into fruition, a reality in our lives. Because we are not speaking the word. We're not speaking it. So salvation is in your mouth. The righteousness that is by your faith, the Bible tells us, speaks. Once you've believed, your heart believes unto righteousness, now you speak. I have believed, the Apostle Paul said, therefore I speak. The righteousness that is by your faith, Romans chapter 10, speaketh. It does not say, the righteousness which is by faith, listen carefully, it does not say who's going to bring Christ down from heaven or who's going to bring him up from the grave so that he can fix me, so that he can grant me all these blessings. The righteousness which is of faith does not say that. What does it say? It says the Word, who is Jesus, the Son of God. The Word, I'm going to say that again, listen very carefully. What does the Word of righteousness say, or the righteousness which is of faith, what does it say? It says, what saith it? The Word. Who is the Word? The word is Jesus. What does Jesus' name mean? Salvation. Yeshua. Joshua. The same name. Jesus' name means salvation. Let's go back and read it again. The word. Who is Jesus? Who is salvation? The word is in your mouth. It's in your heart and even in your mouth. And this is the word of faith that we preach. Your faith, now faith is the substance of the thing hoped for. What is the substance of your faith? It is the word. Who is the word? The word is Jesus, who is salvation. The evidence of the thing not seen. So the word of God, or Jesus, whose name means salvation, is in your mouth. Life and death, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, is in the power of the food we eat. Come on, is it in the power of how much we exercise? Is it in the power of the hands of the doctors who give us medicine? Where is life and death? Who has the power of life and death? Your mouth. Life and death is in the power of your own tongue. And they who eat the fruit of it, they who speak will eat the fruit of their own words. Did you know that? Your words, the words you have spoken in the past, have created. Words are containers, okay? And when you speak God's word, your words become containers of what? Life. Do you understand that? The life is really God. It's in you. And those words become containers that contain the life of God. Now, if you need salvation in your marriage, you speak. And you release life into that situation. Whatever the situation is, your words carry the life of God. It's in you. The kingdom of God is within you. Jesus is life, the very life of God. He lives in you. And he is also God's life, who is also the word. When you and I speak the word, we are releasing that life into the natural world. And this word, the Bible tells us, is alive, it is quick, and it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It goes to work and it cuts out the curse, the evil, and it brings life to whatever it is you need life brought to. We may not understand it. Don't worry about it. It's just like when you take a pill. You don't really know how it all works and how it's going to fix you. Do you trust the doctor? You don't really understand the natural food that you eat, how it goes to work in your body and it gets broke down and then the blood carries it to the different parts of the body. You don't really understand all that. But it doesn't matter. You still eat it anyways. You may not understand how the word of God works, but trust me, it's life. And it brings life to any situation in your life. So God's word spoken through your mouth and my mouth brings the power of God, the life of God, into all our circumstances. God's word is true. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth. You will know the truth. What is the truth? God's word. Jesus is the truth. He is the word of God. And it says the truth will set you free. It doesn't say knowing the truth is going to set you free. It says the truth will set you free. That means you get that truth in your mouth and you speak it. Use the truth. Use the truth. Jesus is not here in the flesh, but really his word is in your heart. And when you speak his word, see it this way. When you speak his word, it's as if Jesus walked in the flesh into your situation and is standing there. How amazing would it have been if we'd have been alive when Jesus was on the earth and you had a sick one, a loved one, or maybe yourself, and you were able to come into the presence of Jesus. You would have had no fears, no doubts, no worries. Why? Because, man, this guy's got a reputation. He's raising dead people. Everybody that came to them, to him, received their miracle, no matter what it was. Well, do you know that when you open up your mouth and speak his word and you get it out there, it's like Jesus entered in. It's like taking your situation, no matter what it is, and the very essence of the presence of the life of Jesus Christ is being spoken out of you. And now it's covering this problem. It's beginning to work and change everything to life. Perfect wholeness. Do you believe that? Do you have faith in Jesus and in his word, knowing that by the word of God all things were created, and he upholds all things by that same word? That's why the sun doesn't fall out of the sky. God spoke, let there be light. He made the sun and he hurled it out into the universe forever. And until he changes that word, that sun is going to stay there. So he's upholding everything by the power of his word. That's why this universe doesn't just collapse or spin off into space somewhere. God holds all things together. We sang that in one of the songs we sang, Majesty. He holds all things together by the power of his word. If you only knew, even in your own life, how much God is really involved. You don't see it, but he's there and he's working. So Jesus is no longer in the flesh, in this world, but he lives in our hearts. So we can't say, well, who's going to come and finish this job? How is there going to be life put into this situation? He lives in you. He's in your hearts. And when you speak God's word, you are bringing the presence, the very essence of who Jesus is, his spirit, into the natural, into your situation. And I'm going to tell you something. It's more than enough to accomplish whatever it is you need. It's more than enough. Jesus did come down from heaven to save us. Yes. He did die our death at the cross. The death that our unrighteousness owed or was supposed to pay. Because we were unrighteous, we all deserve to die. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. We can't change that. So he came and he died our death. He paid off that sin debt. And when he arose from that grave, he brought us up with himself as sinless, blameless, holy, and as righteous as he himself is. And because he has made you and I righteous, he can now come and live in us. And he can now come and dwell in us. So we never have to be running to someone else for help. The God of the universe lives in me and in you. And isn't it wonderful that no matter where you are, no matter who's around, he's there to help you. Wow. I mean, it's wonderful to come together as a church and as Christians to pray together, encouraging one another. But ultimately, if something were to happen to you, you can't escape. He lives in you. You are one spirit with him. And so he has come to live in us. Because he's made us a vessel that he can live in, he's made us righteous. And if we were not righteous, he couldn't live in us. Did you know that? That's why in the Old Testament, he couldn't. He had to follow his people around in tents. God wanted to be so close to his people. And so he had them drag this temple around with the, well, we know if we go back into the Old Testament and read it, the tent. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies once a year. But God longed and yearned to be closer. He wanted to be close to all of his people. And so he set it up in that light that now he lives in every one of us. He is as close to you. He's closer to you than any living person on the earth. In fact, you have become one with him. So he dwells and lives in us. And when you and I speak his word, we are really he is really speaking his own word through us. Do you understand? He is giving his life to our words. God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus is the word. He was wrapped. He was sent in a flesh body, right? Jesus was a person, just like you and I. We're a spirit. The life of God is in us, but we dwell in a flesh body. Jesus was the same. And we also know that God worked mightily or accomplished many great things, the Bible tells us, through Jesus, his son. In fact, in John chapter, the last chapter of John, verse 20, it tells us that if everything was recorded that Jesus did, there would not be enough room in this world to contain the books. Just think about that. Jesus only had 3 years of ministry. How many years have you had? And if everything that he did was recorded, this room would be wall to wall. Every place on the planet would be covered in books. There would be no place to put them. Wow. So let me say that again. God used. I don't like to use the word used, but he flowed and worked through this body. This flesh body he sent to the earth, and he filled this body with his spirit, and then he worked through that body. Right? Do you understand? The real God was on the inside. Jesus was clothed in a flesh body. Now I'm going somewhere. Listen up. Jesus was clothed in a flesh body, and God worked through him mightily, accomplishing numerous miracles, signs, and wonders, and wonderful things. So how many of us agree that's true? God worked through Jesus. In other words, Jesus was used mightily by God. But here's the key word. Here's the key word, was. This is how we see it in our hearts. When we should see it this way, God is working through Jesus mightily. It's not he was working through Jesus. Did you know Jesus is still on the earth? We somehow think of him as not being here anymore. He's still here. Now let me put it this way. He's changed bodies. He came the first time in a flesh body. One body was sent. Now he has a different body, but he's still here just the same. You are the body. We all are the body. And the Bible says, and greater works are you guys going to do than he, Jesus himself. How many more books should have been written? God didn't stop the work. He wants to continue on in a greater measure. Because he had one flesh body to use. And how amazing did God use that flesh body? How much more? Now he's got a whole bunch of us to use. We are this body. And God wants to use you to flow through. Jesus had to live by faith. He had to walk by faith. He had to speak God's word. You know, he'd say things like, I am the light of the world. And then if you read very carefully in the next scripture or the next story, he's opening up a blind eye. I am the life. He raised Lazarus. I am the resurrection. You see, he knew who he was. He spoke. And his words carried the power of the life that was placed on the inside of him. Same way with you. How much more us? We should be speaking. So Jesus is still on the earth as much as God flowed through Jesus in that flesh body. So now he flows through the new body, which is the church. We, the church, are that body. We are the new body of Christ. We have the same spirit, the same power, the same authority that Jesus had when he was in his flesh body. And you and I, we cannot wait around waiting for God to manifest his word before we truly believe his word. Did you know that we do that? No. We believe God's word first. We teach that. We believe God's word first, then we see the manifestation. Whatsoever things you believe. When you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. Have the God kind of faith. Whosoever shall speak unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and will not doubt in your heart. But believe the thing you saith, you will have whatever you saith. Believing in that scripture is only one time. I think the word for it saith is four times. It's what you say. And believe in your heart. So let's go back. So we can't wait around for God to manifest his word before we truly believe it. No, you got to believe the word first. And then the word will be manifested. Here's the key. You have to believe God's word of truth. I don't care if it's by whose stripes we are healed. I don't care if it's God has prospered me according to his riches and glory. I don't care what area you're believing God's word to this morning. There's many promises in the word of God. But you got to believe God's word on one basis. And what is that? Simply because God said it. If God said it, it's the truth. It's not because you feel like it's true. It's not because it looks like it's true. You cannot test. People say, oh, I'm going to try it. You can't try it. You either believe it or you don't. And I know in my heart, God's word is the most reliable thing. Like I just said, he upholds all things with it. He created the universe with it. God is not a man that he would lie. If he said something, he will do it. The fact that Jesus had to come to the earth and die our death shows us that God's word cannot be just discarded. Because God said in the beginning, if you eat of that tree, you will die. He had to take drastic measures to give us life. God's word will never fail you. It will never return unto him void. It is the most powerful thing in the universe because it is Jesus himself. Based on that, you believe his word. I don't care what you see in your circumstances. I don't care what you feel. His word is the truth. And you get it in your mouth and you start speaking it into that situation. And I don't care if you don't see any changes right away. You just keep on speaking. Keep on speaking. That word is going to change your situation. It's going to change. It's going to bring life to whatever it is you need life in. But you need to understand. Don't stand there and wait for God to do something and wonder why God's not answering your prayers. Salvation is in your mouth. Romans 10:8 says, what saith it? The righteousness which is of faith. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. This is the word of faith. Walking and living, we often wonder what it's like to live or walk in righteousness, is really just living by the truth of God's word. Abraham believed God, and God saw him as righteous. Righteousness isn't about what you do, it's about what you believe. Righteousness is believing right. Even though it may not look like it in the natural. And nothing this side of heaven pleases God more than when you just simply take him at his word and just get it in your mouth and speak. Speak life. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You have the right to speak life. When you speak the truth of God's word from that position, you are releasing the life of God, the power of God to work in your life. Salvation is always in your mouth. Whenever there's a need in your life, don't wonder how you're going to get out of this need. Get the word and get it in your mouth. Start speaking it. Don't delay. Don't delay. God's given us the ability. We are the body of Christ on the earth. He wants us to do as many great works as Jesus himself did when he was in his flesh body. And I believe we're at a time and in a day. It's a new generation, and they're not afraid to stand up with the sword of the Spirit and to fight, speak God's word. They're not afraid. Because I believe they've had much more insight into the truth. And so I'm excited about the new generation, the young generation who's being raised in the truth, who I believe will usher in our Lord. But in the meantime, even us old guys who have been in the Word, we need to take a hold of the sword of the Spirit. We need to start speaking life into our situations. It's not dependent on how good you've been. It's not even dependent on whether that situation is your fault or not. Come on, many times we don't speak life because we look at it and we think, well, this is just what I deserve. If I wouldn't have been so stupid, done this, done that, and this is the result. And so then we kind of don't speak. We kind of let it go. We think, well, you know, I can handle this. I guess this is what I get for being such an idiot. No. God wants you to speak life, and never quit speaking life. Irregardless, just get God's life out there. It will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever even imagine or even think possible. But you got to get it out of your mouth. Salvation is in your mouth. Amen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father,